Such an abundance of wonderful opportunity happening in and through the life of our congregation right now. It's very exciting. So we placed that minute for mission right before the sermon this morning because we want to make a connection between the invitation to serve as tenders of the church's garden and by extension caregivers of our neighbors through Family Sharing and Hope House and the texts from the scriptures that we are about to hear. Before we turn to God's word, let us pray together. Let's pray. Creator Spirit, who hovered over the waters at creation's birth, who descended in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism, who was poured out under the signs of wind and fire at Pentecost, come to us today. Open our hearts and minds so that we may hear the word of life and be renewed by your power. This we pray through Christ, the living word. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is the 23rd Psalm, a passage that is no doubt familiar to most of us. This morning we're going to read it out loud all together. The words will appear on the screen in the new RSV version of the Bible. However, some of you may have committed these words to heart, perhaps from the cherished King James Version. You are welcome to speak the psalm using the words that are most meaningful to you. Don't worry if your neighbor is saying something different. In this way, we will allow this psalm to speak to us anew. Let us now read together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, a passage in which Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. This is one of several I am statements in the Gospel of John, statements in which Jesus uses a metaphor to say something about his identity and purpose. I invite you to listen now for what the Spirit says to the church. From John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friend Wayne Muller says that the Psalms saved his life many times. But about the 23rd Psalm, he muses with some humor that for some reason we in our tradition have decided it is only safe to read this psalm to dead people. Since we are very much alive today, I hope that we can listen for a message in the 23rd Psalm as well as John's Gospel that can speak into our living and not simply prepare us for our dying. The 23rd Psalm is arguably the Bible's most familiar, oft-memorized description of God that uses the metaphor of a shepherd. The Old Testament is sprinkled with passages that describe God by way of this metaphor. In the biblical world, shepherds and their flocks would have been a familiar sight. The provision of pasture, the protection from predators, the leading and gathering, the tending to ailments and wounds, the comfort, the safety, the rest and restoration that a shepherd provides for sheep would resonate in the memory and in the lived experience of those who heard it. For a young Israelite boy named David, to whom this psalm is attributed, shepherd was not only a way to understand God in relationship to himself, it also pretty much summed up the experience of Israel through the years of slavery, wilderness wanderings, and arrival in the Promised Land. What's interesting to me this morning is that neither the 23rd Psalm nor Jesus' words in John's Gospel says much about the sheep. They are not lost sheep, straying sheep, dumb sheep, or the proverbial black sheep. The sheep are purely and simply known by relationship to the shepherd, who in John's Gospel, Jesus identifies as himself. Known by relationship to the shepherd who is good. Good in the sense of trustworthy and loving. Good in the sense of fiercely protective of the flock. Unlike the hired hand who is more concerned for his own well-being than the well-being of the sheep, this shepherd is good in an inclusive, all-encompassing way. The shepherd's eye is not only on those in the fold, but also on the other sheep, who are not identified, but for whom the shepherd claims a sense of responsibility, even urgency. I must bring them in, says Jesus. The shepherd is so good that he would even lay down his life for the sheep. However, it can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good when you are vulnerable to the elements or to predators or hungry or tired or frightened. It can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good when your well-being has been hijacked by physical or mental illness, by addiction or dis-ease. It can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good when you are under attack because you are the other and you feel you don't belong. When you've been judged by something you said or didn't say, by something you did or didn't do, or by your appearance or background, by the color of your skin or the beliefs you hold, by the heritage you claim or the language you speak. It can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good when you're feeling pressure to achieve, accomplish, or produce, and to avoid failure at all costs. When you're working as hard as you can and still can't pay the bills, it can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good. However, when you are known by your relationship with the shepherd whose goodness goes ahead of you, scoping out fertile ground, pulling you toward life-sustaining terrain, and whose mercy follows behind, scooping up the mess you made, or the mess that just happened because, well, life. When you are known by relationship with the shepherd, it puts you in a sheepfold as expansive as all creation, where the shepherd's care and provision for you becomes the basis for how you relate to each other and how you tend the green pastures and still waters that sustain your common life. When you are known by your relationship with the shepherd, the whole earth is the table where you are fed, even in the presence of your enemies, where you may be vulnerable. And there will be risk, and you must learn to trust all over again. But you are not alone, because in this sheepfold, you are with other faithful people who have heard the voice of the shepherd and who worship and serve in his name, among whom hospitality abounds and kindness and compassion flow. In this sheepfold, you lack nothing. Because of the shepherd, whose rod and staff are comfort, not only for you, but for the other sheep that Jesus must bring into the fold, the ones for whom it can be hard to trust that the shepherd is good. As I've thought about these texts in relationship to the announcement that the Crossroads Vegetable Garden is about to be revived, my heart warmed. I've noticed how deeply woven into your DNA is this desire for others to know the Jesus you know. And for a season, I believe the garden will be a wonderful focus for our collective energies, engaging us across the congregation and with community partners in a project that builds trust that the shepherd is good. It is especially suited for connecting with other sheep because it offers visibility beyond the building. We know that people who are not already churchgoers and people who have been wounded by past experiences of the church are not likely to wander through our doors on their own. But they will drive by on Highland Road and see our discipleship in action. I'm picturing a big sign somewhere out there that says, Crossroads and Family Sharing, Feeding Neighbors Together. And to people of all ages in and around the garden, signs of the life we know and celebrate here, signs of the shepherd we follow. We can't control the weather or the harvest, and we don't know exactly how God will work through us to build trust that the shepherd is good, but we can step outside of ourselves and see what happens. We can make this project a great way to stay connected between Sundays, especially as we head into late spring and summer. The flock will scatter. There will be vacations and weekend excursions out and about enjoying God's creation. So the garden will be a place of any time of the week connection, touching base with each other, with our community partners, and with God. Just imagine the conversations that can happen when your hands are occupied, or the prayers that can literally be grounded in the soil, or the stories that could be told while delivering the harvest to its intended destination. And because this garden benefits those whose well-being is not currently served by our church, it will widen our circle of relationship and influence as people who are known by relationship with the shepherd. I'm thinking of the 400 to 600 families served by Family Sharing of Ozaukee County, that's every month, and the 1,400 homeless on the streets of Milwaukee, for whom it can be hard to trust every single day that the shepherd is good. So maybe, just maybe, a little trust could sprout from the planting of seeds and harvesting of vegetables from this table on the land God has given us. And a little goodness could take root as we weed and water. And mercy could come from encounters in the garden with other sheep, whether they are church members or community partners. Might this garden be a place where caring for the earth and its bounty becomes spiritual work, because in the act of loving your neighbor as yourself, you hear the voice of the shepherd who is good, who is love, and whose self-giving way you are practicing. beyond the building, between Sundays, for the benefit of those whose well-being is not currently served by the church. These are some of the qualities that make this project ripe for Crossroads right now. As one who is known by relationship to the Lord who is your shepherd, what part will you play in this project so that other sheep might recognize the voice of Jesus and be known in relationship to him as well? As you contemplate why it would matter that you take your place in this ministry, consider this testimony that will appear on the screens.
Anyone who has spent time with Jonathan Lawler knows he loves what he does.
So he has a passion for farming.
Absolutely. There's no better job on the planet.
He founded Brandywine Creek Farms in Hancock County and runs the place with his wife, Amanda.
My calling as a man of faith says that I have to do this. My calling as a farmer says that I have to feed people.
His farm is not a typical one. 3 years ago, a story about hungry families at his son's school sparked an urge in Jonathan to do more, to not only learn about hunger and how it touches so many people, but also to feed those suffering from it.
He's a man of ideas, so, and he always has been. He's never lacking for vision.
With Jonathan leading the way, the Lawlers turn their for-profit farm into an organization that donates the majority of its crop. Healthy foods like tomatoes, watermelons, zucchini, cucumbers, and peppers donated to soup kitchens, food pantries, community centers, and other nonprofit agencies helping feed people in central Indiana. And so far, the farm has produced more than 980,000 pounds of produce to donate over the last couple of years.
The idea of taking a significant part of our farm and dedicating it just to feeding people, we knew it was going to, require some sacrifice.
Given the sacrifice, I asked Jonathan why he loved being a farmer, and he wasn't satisfied with the first answer he gave me.
Why does it matter? Because you are known by relationship to the shepherd who is good, and whose goodness and mercy pursue and follow after you and the other sheep your whole life long. Thanks be to God. Amen.